We'll focus our devotions and the counsel of God's word on verse 27. And also the latter part of verse 26. And particularly verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. And then verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. And then verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increaseth strength. Even in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And focusing on mainly on verse 31 again, our thoughts on this, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah, in these verses, describes God's power to create and his provision to sustain our daily lives, and his presence. Though we do not see his presence, he can still sustain us, waiting for us to call unto him in time of need. God is almighty and all-powerful. We all know that. But even so, he cares for each one of us personally in every details of our lives. But more often than not, we are not aware of this. Although, yes, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my own Savior, but sometimes, more often than not, we are not aware that God is present everywhere. And he's waiting for us to call unto him when we are facing difficulties in lives, in our individual lives. So no person or thing can be compared to God in time of our trouble and his ever-present provision for our needs. According to verse 25, we describe God as best as we can with our own limited knowledge. And that's true. And even in our own particular way, in our own dialect or language, that we can describe him in a limited way. There's not enough even best words to express the greatness of God and his power. But then there are words in English. In your particular language, you can describe him, but it's not even meagerly enough to describe God's immense power and transforming power of his word and his presence. His presence is everywhere. We cannot limit God in this place, in our hearts. He is everywhere. You know how many billions of stars and how many millions of galaxies in the world? In the whole entire space, universe, that we cannot see beyond our eyes. God is present. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? And yet the Word of God says so. In human terms, even the stronger people or the stronger macho man in the world, name him, who can lift up so much power, heavyweight, and who can punch with technical knockout, no power on earth can equal God. Even the stronger people, who get tired at times, as our scripture says, even the youth gets tired. But God's power and strength never diminish. It always increases. When you call unto him, you will be surprised of God can sustain us and prevent us from falling. Amen? He is also never too tired in listening to our prayers. That's why spending time on prayer. I know to some Christians it's difficult to constantly be early in the morning. But you don't have to be early in the morning. But I think we are encouraged because it's the model of our Lord Jesus Christ to pray in the morning. It's very quiet to address his Father, to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. He is never too tired or too busy to help and listen to our troubles, to our pain, and our difficulties in life. Sometimes we forget that, and we try to do within our own plans and our own ideas how to solve our problem. But more often than not, what is the result? We are disappointed. We are discouraged. And then sometimes, if God is love, others will say, why does God allow these things to happen? And sometimes we join those people and agree with them. Remember, God has no equal. His strength is our source of strength. Relying on God's power gives us the confidence. The Word of God repeatedly say that to us again and again with confidence that we can face our lives with victory as Christians. The world cannot live their lives with victory. They may have millions, they may have good friends, big houses, a lot of popular friends, but the victory that we have and the joy that we have, they don't have. Because they don't have Christ in their lives. Jesus Christ is everything to us. When we have Jesus Christ, we have the source of power available on earth. But how do we use it? Do we call unto him? Therefore, what should be our response to God's power that God's word is now telling us? First of all, I would encourage ourselves that we should worship him in response to his power. Our response should follow what God told Israel this way in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 36. He who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, and to him you shall sacrifice. That means you shall worship. We don't just do a sacrifice without any sense of God's presence and our personal relationship with him, to our Lord Jesus Christ. No one do that unless he first love us and save us from the power of sin through the power of his blood, as our brother said. And of course, you could testify, all of us, about the power of his blood. There is no stain that cannot be washed by the power of his blood, the power of and stain of our sin. And then we can also respond by understanding that God's power should also give us the confidence to live for him. There is a husband and wife who are perhaps 10 years anniversary, 10 years in their anniversary. And then the wife just wear a black clothes. And the husband said, why are you wearing that? Well, our relationship is something like there is a dead relationship. You see, there is a strong message about that. If we are married and we are both Christians, it should speak louder to others who are married, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Brother Oliame, I praise God. In his prayer, he always said the joy of the Lord is our strength. In fact, the Bible says, and you can find the reference there yourself, it said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, this is very important. This is how, maybe this is the difference of not telling our not being so loud and clear in our testifying to the outside world, in our community where we live. Because there's no seemingly touching joy in our eyes. Look at those people who smile with such, as if they have not met for how many years, and yet they just met last week. But they're rejoicing when they met their friends. How much more we, as Christians, we have the joy. Sometimes we shake each other's hands without looking at each other's eyes. It's so pathetic, isn't it? As if we lost the joy of loving one another. We were just exhorted a while ago that we should stir up with the love of Christ. You know, this is Tertullian, I have to say again, recorded how people were Antichrist in the Thessalonica church. They were moved. They were so amazed how each other in Thessalonica loved one another. That's why no wonder people joined the church there, because of the love of Christ. It's so transparent that they can feel the power of love in their fellowship. We long to see that in our fellowship. We can actually, God can actually fill up the spaces of our fuse if we show the love of Christ. Not just helping them with the good things in life, but what, like Pastor Brother Rolyami said, he witnessed, he shared the good news, how they can trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Brother, the blood, the power of the blood of Christ can forgive our sins. That's the start of a good fellowship. And people are looking for the touch of Christ's life in our lives. So even the Apostle Paul, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthened me. Philippians 4:13 assuredly echoes that for our encouragement. Because of this strength, we can live the Christian life. It's of us with confidence, not because of our own strength, but the power of Christ's love in us and the joy that it brings with it. We cannot manufacture that joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and he commanded us to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice, he said. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Think about that. Sometimes we just ask a little bit. We must keep asking God, and he's waiting for us to answer. He's not getting tired. If he's not answering our prayers because there's something wrong in our personal walk with him. Look at the husband and wife. When I heard someone said, oh, you say I love you, but show it to me, the wife says. We Christians should not all say, I love you. Our action speaks louder than words. And we can ask more than that we can think in our prayers. So let us not feel embarrassed or feel so tired if God is not answering our prayer. We'll continue to be heeding what James says, that the fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So God expects holiness as well in our lives. We just pray and pray and pray without the producing, without allowing us to be humbled by God and to be set apart for his glory. So encourage one another with the love of Christ. And number three, our eternal hope rests on the power of God, as again is extension of our response to God's power. Ephesians 3:20 says that his power save us and will raise us up on the last day. John chapter 6 verse 40 says that. That day should be the great hope of Christian, because whatever troubles we have on earth, our heavenly Father, our heavenly destiny is secured and always a source of our inheritance, because our inheritance is in Christ. Therefore, when someone says, and I agree with him, that we, when we have Christ, we have everything. And sometimes we don't apply that truth. Because we are reminded that it's inheritance. We are co-heirs with Christ. What he owns is of our very own. And so we should encourage ourselves all the more. We have no reason to be hopeless, as someone says. Well, sometimes there are hopeless situations, but we should not be hopeless. God can control the situation of our lives. Amen? So we also, as we encourage ourselves, we should long to see that day when he shall come. Because the second coming of Christ is imminent any day. Let's not be troubled about how we will come, you know, premillennialists, postmillennialists, amillennialists. Let's not be worried about this. It will come any time. Let us not be bogged down about how he will come. He will come because he said, I have prepared a place for you. He told his disciples. If it were not so, he says, I would not have told you this. But because it's true, it's going to happen. Remember that those two robbers, left and right of the Lord Jesus Christ? That man who is so arrogant on the left side. If you are God, show us your power. Get down on your cross and save us. But the other one on his right, in his humble heart, he cannot even lift up his eyes on heaven because of the conviction of sin. And he said, Lord. In fact, he said, Lord, are you not ashamed of yourself? This man has not done anything wrong. We are the real guilty sinners. Why we is hanging there, and is also why we are put on this cross. The Lord Jesus carried our sins on the cross. That's why the man cried for salvation. He said, he can only say, Lord, remember me when you go up to heaven. And the Lord Jesus said unto him, now you are with me in paradise. What an assurance, isn't it? And we should have assurance as well that speaks forth with such power that others are attracted and are questioning, who is this God that you're worshiping? Rightly so, Brother Olyami says, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no good fellowship. You are not joyful. You have no joyful fellowship because you don't have Christ. That's a strong testimony. And then God's power also gives us a spiritual victory. Paul instructs us to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Ephesians 6:20 says that to us again and again. When the adversary comes and you're on your guard, you don't fight him. You must go to the commander-in-chief, our Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our lives. And he leads the battle. We don't lead the battle. He's the one leading the battle. We only have to cry for help. He can send battalions of angels, but he's the source of power. Because he's powerful. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. And next time that we face this battle, every day after now, we have a spiritual battle. We must call unto our commander in chief so that he will succor us. God will bring about the victory in our prayer if we call unto him persistently, because 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in us than the one that is in the world. So let us not lose sight of the power of God and his encouragement, that even though we can see how others are amassing a lot of power and influence because of their power, but that will come to end anyway. But greater is he that is in us than the one that is in the world. Satan may be powerful, but he is not a big match for our living God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, and finally, understanding God's power should give us the humility. We must not be so arrogant. Oh God, I have prayed this many times until now you're not answering my prayer. No, there must be something utterly wrong in our relationship with God. God is willing to answer our prayer, but we must confess those sins. We must make right our relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything amiss, even before we worship, that must be strengthened. That must be corrected. And how easy we can forget. That even when we take communion, if we have something wrong against your brother who offended you, go to that brother and settle the matter up. What a wonderful truth of God's power to forgive, because there is power in the blood. Peter exhorts us, finally, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. 1 Peter 5:6. Apart from God's gracious power, we are nothing. And we experience that. And can do nothing out of our situation. And yet we try to do it with our own strength. John 15:5 echoes that truth as well. Finally, this is the challenge. When you feel all of life's crushing blow upon you and upon each one of us, and you cannot make another further step to win the victory, and we cannot win the victory on our own strength, let's remember that you can call upon God to renew your strength. That is verse 41 of Isaiah 40 says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So when we pray, let us not get tired if the answer is not yet forthcoming. He wants persistency. And then he will surprise you what the Lord has done. Trusting in the Lord is patient expectation. We must continue to expect, like every day, any moment, it will come. We must also wear that hope so that we will not be caught unaware, that God will fulfill his promise in our day, that in his word, he will be strengthening each one of us to rise above our difficulties and trials day by day. Do you believe that God can transform your situation? Do you believe that God loves you persistently and wants the best for you? Sometimes we don't. If we do, there is a changed life. People will be attracted to you because of Christ in you and in me. Do you want the best for your life? You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Only God knows the best for each one of us. Can you be at peace and be confident that his purposes for you will be fulfilled in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? His day is every day. Are you convinced that he has the power to control all of our lives, events, and situation? And your own life as well. Today, if you're in trouble, if you're in great need of settling something before God, and we're not happy, let's settle it today. Though your faith may be struggling or weak, accept his provisions that he already says in Isaiah 31. Those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength in prayer. Heavenly Father, let's pray. Thank you for using multitudes of ways that we cannot count in order to show us and to demonstrate to us that the life-transforming power of your word and applied in our various situations. Forgive us, Lord, if we depend upon our own strength and ideas. And thank you for the powerful blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that can wash away our sins. May we, from this day forward, O Lord, will continue to trust you and call unto you any time of the day for strength and for encouragement and for your love to be transparent in our individual lives, particularly among the fellowship of the saints. So bless us now. We bring you the praise and the glory in answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So our last hymn is that Anchor Hold, please.